Please be seated.
Okay, here we go. Back to Kapa'a Neighborhood Center Live.
Hello, if everyone could please be seated. I want to thank our sponsors again, Kapa'a Business Association, Kauai County Farm Bureau, and the Kauai Chamber of Commerce. If you guys have an empty seat next to you, can you please raise your hand to let people know we are not bringing out any more seats. Any more seats is the max amount of seats we have. We are actually at around fire code capacity at this time. You guys ready to go?
1-2, 1-2.
For the state representative forum, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to introduce themselves, followed by a series of questions and answers. Candidates will be given 2 minutes to answer each question. At the end of each question and answer session, candidates will be given 2 minutes to present their closing remarks. You guys, please be quiet so we can start this. Thank you very much. Hawaii State District 14 includes an area stretching from Haena to Kapa'a. The district includes a population of approximately 22,000 people. Just over 77% or 18,000 of that population are over 18 and eligible to vote. I'm pleased to introduce our candidates, Derek Kawakami, I'm sorry, Kawakami, Jonathan Ho'omana Van Nui. I was practicing that one. Please introduce yourselves to the East Side Kauai of County, East Kauai community. Derek, you're first.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up tonight. My name is Derek Kawakami, and I want to recognize a few people in the audience. First off, my mom and dad, I owe you so much. Thank you for instilling a work ethic, the values that I've grown up with, and for just being patient with me and sticking behind me. Of course, my wife Monica is back there, my foundation, the reason why I can do what I love to do, which is serving the people. And of course, I have Jeannie Kapali and Polly Phillips, who both work in my office. Thank you so much. You've got a wonderful support team. And for everybody that put on this forum, thank you so much. I know it's not easy. It takes a lot of organization. We really appreciate this venue and this opportunity. And for everybody that showed up tonight, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. My name is Derek Kawakami. I am the Assistant Majority Leader of the House, Vice Chair of the Committee on Consumer Protection and Commerce, which is the second largest committee in the House of Representatives. I was first elected to the KIUC Board in 2006. In 2008, I was elected to the Kauai County Council. 2010, we were reelected. And in 2011, we were fortunate enough to be appointed to the House when our former representative, Mina Marita, was appointed to the PUC chair. It's been an absolute honor and privilege to serve you. It's something that I love to do. I hope that my work has shown the passion that I have for serving the people. Coming from a family that has served the people for many generations through Big Save and Menihuni Food Mart, it's just being able to carry that torch and create a better Kauai, a better state of Hawaii for a Kikin Kupuna for the next generations. Mahalo nui loa for showing up. Aloha.
Thank you. If we could please hold the applause to the end. Thank you very much. Mr. Jonathan, please introduce yourself to the East Side Kauai community. You have 2 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I thank my Heavenly Father for bringing me here today safely. I thank the Chamber of Commerce and every one of you in this community for being present. And thank you so much. My family comes from the North Shore, comes from a place called Kalalau Valley. My grandfather's name was John Kaho'ohanohanopa, who married a lady named May Titcomb, who had 17 children. And after that, which produced my grandma Nancy, who married a man named Eddie Pule, and they had 13 children, and one of them is my mom, and she's sitting right there. To tell you a little bit about myself, I'm running for the District 14 candidate, House Representative. I am 50 years old. I serve my community. I have 18 years of education behind me. I graduated from a Jesuit college from Denver, Colorado. I'm born and raised in Hawaii. And during my service, I was a veteran of foreign wars. I now resurrected the post in in Lihue, which is the post 3855. I am the commander for that post. I also sit in the state council as a veteran foreign wars representative, as a state judge advocate. I serve my community again by sitting on the National Football High School Association as a high school coach. I'm certified also in the state of Colorado. I have an appointed position as a national committee as a general's aide. One of my philosophies is that I believe that it's not about the red and the blue anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about segregation separating us from the left from the right. It's about the top and the bottom. I believe that education is important. Not only important, it is delicate. It should encourage our students. It should empower our students to be all they can be, to create good citizens for the community. Aloha, ladies and gentlemen. My time is up. Mahalo.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'd also forgot one of our sponsors tonight, Rolla Coconut Coast Association. Thank you very much. Our next question is going to Mr. Jonathan. Which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I just said it earlier. I served in the United States Army so that every one of us over here in this community can go on to daily lives to make good decisions for the community. While I protect your borders across the overseas side, that's what I did to serve this community. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Derek, which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai?
Thank you for the question. And first and foremost, I'd like to thank Jonathan for his service to our country. I think it's very commendable. You know, that's a very tough question. I've been involved in community service since we were born, coming from a family that was bred to serve the community. But I got to tell you, some of the accomplishments that I'm very proud of is in 2006, when I was elected to the KIEC Board of Directors, I chaired the Strategic Planning Committee, the planning committee that set the goal way above and beyond what the state's requirements for as far as achieving renewable energy by 2020. We did a Safe Routes to School bill, which tacked on a surcharge for any moving violations, and that money is allocated directly to the counties to create safer, walkable, bikeable areas for our keiki and our kupuna, and it's been a wonderful partnership with the county in getting those kind of measures implemented. At the county council, I had a lot of my friends that were a little frustrated with me when I did the cell phone ban. But when I explained to them that statistically and factually, when you look at the traffic collisions and the tragic events that are happening on our roadways and highways, these cell phones and distracted driving is a major reason. And so I was very proud to have been able to do that. Currently, we are working with our community with individuals with disabilities. It's always been something that has been near and dear to my heart. So we're trying to push forward a measure that would give employers a tax credit if they hire individuals with mental or developmental disabilities. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Derek. Question's actually back to you, Derek. Do you support legalization of marijuana for recreational use to increase the state and local tax revenues?
You know, I think it's a very touchy subject and a very divisive subject, but I have to tell you that I am very open to it, and I'll be honest with you. When you take a look at prohibition is what created the Al Capones, because it flushed the market into the underground where government couldn't monitor it, they couldn't set up parameters, and they couldn't enforce fines. So they took a market, shoved it to the underground. When we talk to individuals both for and against the legalization of marijuana, one of the pros that came up is that you can flush that black market to the surface where government can monitor it currently, like how they do alcohol. You can create a commission, you can create fines, and you can monitor the activity and to ensure that it doesn't get into the hands of people that it shouldn't get into. And when you take a look at Colorado, which is what the state of Hawaii is doing right now, we're taking a look at the states like Colorado and Washington to see if there are any unintended consequences and what the tax revenue looks like. We had a bill at the legislature with a 25% GE tax. And when you take a look at the state of Hawaii, the fiscal reality, we are on the verge of shutting down two hospitals in Kauai that serve our rural communities. And if you live in the 14th district, all the way from the North Shore to Kapaa and Wailua, you know how important Mahilona Hospital is to our quality of life. Because you're going to, if those hospitals close, now if you live in the North Shore, your next best option is down in Wilcox. So we are studying the issue, and we are doing our due diligence, and it is going to be one of those issues that's going to be very interesting.
Thank you, Derek. Jonathan, do you support the legalization of marijuana for recreational use to increase state and local tax revenues?
Well, my perspective on that one is, for medical purposes, we got to look at the people who has medical illnesses that need this marijuana, yeah? And so with strict guidelines, I just want to share with you, with the strict guidelines, by a physician who's licensed, I believe that they need it because it could be a life or death situation. We're talking about people's lives here. We're not just talking about marijuana now. We're talking about humanity. And so with good control and enforcement, just like Derek said, that, the prohibition started and went to the underground and they did what they wanted to do. But with good control and good enforcement, if it is a life or death situation, that's what we're talking about. Okay, now, the fear is having someone that's unstable get behind the wheel of a car. And so it's just like an underage or a minor drinking alcohol and getting behind the wheel of a car. Now, that could be risky. Think about that one, ladies and gentlemen. Mahalo.
Thank you, Jonathan. Actually, it's going to go right back to you, Jonathan. Would you support the Super Ferry coming back to Hawaii? If so, would you support it coming back to the island of Kauai?
From a business perspective, we got to do something. And I tell you why. Because we got Hawaiian Airlines who's monopolizing the airfares right now. And I want to create competition. If it ain't bringing back something that's going to give them competition, then bring back another carrier. Southwest Airlines. How about that one? $25 tickets maybe. So I'm all about creating competition. I'm all about business. Also, I'm all about the people. I believe that I will have to support that if we don't have anything else in place. We need people to have options to choose from. Mahalo.
Thank you, Jonathan. To Derek, would you support the Super Ferry coming back to Hawaii? If so, would you support it coming back to the island of Kauai?
Well, I can tell you, and I really want to speak to what I feel is the reality of the issue. I mean, this Super Ferry issue came up during this campaign season, but let's face reality. The amount of money that the state invested in the original proposal and the amount of waste that got flushed down the drain because it was done improperly without the EIS is a crime to our taxpayers. We invested so much infrastructure, and to have it rushed through and fail because somebody wanted to fast track a project, the reality of a super ferry ever coming back to Hawaii, and I'm sorry if people, I guess, feel that I'm crushing their dreams of having a super ferry, but I want to talk reality. If they're expecting the state to once again invest in infrastructure for a ferry, I don't see it happening. Like I said, we are in a fiscal dismal crisis right now. We went through the Great Recession, one of the worst economic crises that my generation has faced, for many people's generations that have faced since the Great Depression. We're just trying to restore core services right now. I mean, we're trying to restore services to our schools, to our kupuna, to Department of Agriculture, to DLNR, and a slew of other departments. So what I support of Super Ferry, if it's on the backs of the taxpayers, absolutely not. We've been through this rodeo before. We've been through it. Now, do we need an alternative carrier? Yes, we do, and we've done studies. We have done studies, and with the population of Hawaii and the air traffic, they say it's not sustainable to have two major airlines in Hawaii, and that's just the numbers. So these corporate decision makers are looking at the numbers and crunching them, and they're showing that Hawaii has maybe capacity for 1.5 airlines. Now, I'm all for choice, and if there's any way we can facilitate an alternative that is not imposed on the backs of our taxpayers and residents, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Next question goes to Jonathan. Hawaii medical providers have... Actually, this is actually going to you, Derek. I apologize for that mistake. Hawaii medical providers have been faced with the need to make serious cutbacks. Will you address this budgetary issue?
You know, it's a tough issue. Hawaii health providers have been faced with severe cutbacks, and I got to tell you, every department, everybody has been faced with severe cutbacks from within our own households, from the amount of discretionary income that we have to go out to dinner and go out to the movies. Everybody has had to make sacrifices. I think for our long-term health care system, we have to look at preventative measures. I think right now when we are trying to look at our overall health care system, a lot of it can be dealt with, and a lot of our health care costs can be cut through preventative measures. If we can educate people, if we can help them get off of tobacco, which is a huge cost implication to our healthcare system, if we can educate people on eating correctly, if we can educate people on taking preventative measures so that they're not going to the hospital, I think that's a way to be able to cut a lot of our healthcare costs and to address a lot of their budgetary cuts. Because really, folks, there's only two avenues when you're operating a business. You can either increase revenues or decrease costs. If we can take preventative measures and be proactive, that's a way of being able to cut some costs. As far as increasing revenue, I know that the healthcare industry and departments are doing everything in their power to increase services without increasing costs substantially to our residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan, Hawaii medical providers have been faced with the need to make serious cutbacks. How will you address this budgetary issue?
Well, first of all, the state and county and the federal governments have an obligation to us, to the citizens of Kauai. We're all taxpayers and we deserve it. We deserve it. We depend on these services. I got an auntie up there in that hospital right now who uses the services. I mean, and to cut back, I mean, we're in a crisis right now. I know Derek talked about the financials and all that. Yeah, if we continue to 2016, those special funds which are allocated and designated for those operations are going to be depleted. So what we got to do right now is, like he said, we got to cut back on taxes. But how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that is we got to find out where our state funds are going. A lot of them, we have dual entities going on. We have state-funded programs that produce the same kind of services, same kind of products. And that's the issue right now. What we got to do is we got to fix that first. So we need tax reform. I signed a pledge with the Americans Reform tax reform thing, to pledge that if I am in office for 2 years or 20 years, that I will not raise taxes, which would what? Demand me and make me and force me to what? To look for other alternative sources and options. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonathan. This next question goes back to you.
KKCR Hanalei, KQA.
Do you support the labeling of GMO products?
You know, that's a big issue. We talked about that. I know county going through all this. You know what? When it comes to labeling, I think the people should be well aware about the foods. I think we got to split the North Shore. Some of the North Shore like that. Some of the North Shore don't like that. But really, you know what it comes down to? It comes down to pesticides. All they got to do is be in compliance with the laws of Hawaii. That's what we want. We want them to be in compliance with the laws of Hawaii. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonathan. Derek, do you support labeling of GMO products?
Absolutely. In fact, we were the introducers of a resolution urging the FDA and our congressional delegation to get it done in Washington, D.C. I can tell the FDA, they put labels on everything. And the fear is, oh, if it's labeled, nobody's going to buy it. I don't buy into that philosophy, and I can tell you why. You go into the grocery store and you buy a bag of potato chips. It lists everything under the sun. Some of it's not very healthy, but I still eat it. But all it is a right to know, right? This is a fairly new technology. I think if it's labeled, it just gives people the right to know. And people will still shop. I mean, you have to remember, folks, that we owned and operated a grocery store, so we're very familiar with shopping habits. And people usually shop for value and what they can afford. Now, this whole labeling debacle has been blown out of proportion by the industries, but I can tell you that when they're saying that there's a fear that they may lose sales, I don't necessarily buy into it. I mean, you can look at a can of soda and see how much grams of sugar. It's not necessarily healthy, but I can tell you we sell a ton of it. Now, how it's done is another question. People have asked us to implement labeling at a state level. I can tell you, when we talk to our distributors, and this is real-life experience because we're dealing with these mainland manufacturers, they're saying that it could raise the cost of living in Hawaii because they're going to have to create a special process for a tiny state amongst 50 states in the nation. If we can do it at a federal level, it'll level the playing field, and just by the economies of scale, it would be practical, and it'd just be another label. I mean, take a look at water. How many labels on a bottle of water? It's crazy. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Derek. This next question goes back to you, Derek. Please hold the applause. With the heightened awareness of endangered seabirds and seals and other animals, how do you propose to protect endangered species?
Well, I think we have a lot of laws to protect endangered species. What it comes down to is to enforcement. And if you look at the data, some of these endangered species have been on the recovery because of those protective measures. So I think as a proposal, if we can, not necessarily increase funding, because I'll be honest, it's hard to increase funding for any department right now when we're trying to restore services in the Department of Education, but if we can maintain funding for enforcement. And it's a very touchy subject because growing up on Kauai, a rural town, we're used to having these Friday night lights, so you have this divide in the community that wants to hold on to the tradition. But I can tell you, when we're with KIUC, the amount of fines and potential fines to KIUC, the county and the state of Hawaii, in violating any of these protective measures is profound to our taxpayers, and it would be an injustice if you had to foot the bill for our irresponsibility. When we worked with Senator Inouye, the senior senator in the state of Hawaii, one of the most powerful men, not even he could change any of the laws for these protective species. I think we should embrace them. We're going to have to learn how to live together with these species, but as far as protecting them, we have a lot of protective measures. We just need to worry about being able to fund the enforcement and the regulations.
Thank you, Derek. Jonathan, with the heightened awareness of endangered seabirds, seals, and other animals, how do you propose to protect endangered species?
First of all, a seal no come from over here. The seal no come from over here. Nature takes care of its own. What's more important, humanity or all of that? Nature will take care of its own. It purges these lands. We live in a land of milk and honey. The water come down, the hurricanes come in, and that's how we're going to take it at. But when you talk about endangered species, I did sign a survey. I did answer the question. I'm about that too. But the importance is we the people. It's important. I believe humanity. I did answer that survey, and I answered it. I said I would like to protect it in any way I can. I don't have the expertise in that field, but I will protect as much as I can. I mean, I come from a family down in Wainia. Hey, we love the birds. We love the piggies. I mean, but sometimes humanity demands more from the aina. It demands more than an ecosystem can provide. You got to think of that. We're not going to live in fear. It's not about fear. It's about, you know, thinking about what we're going to do. Mahalo. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. This question is back to you, Jonathan. Since we are on the east side, please share an example or way you have been involved with or supporting east side community.
East side community. Okay. Well, every Thursdays I come to Lihue, but let me go back to Lihue, east side. I go down there on Thursdays and help my mom with the Waipa Foundation. They have a land there, and they're producing sustainable fruits, vegetables. They have a piggery back there. I got a son that used to work down there. So I help the people there. And then in the afternoon, I run up once a month. I run up to Lihue, and I serve the community with the Veterans of Foreign Wars Association. Anything else on the North Shore? Not really. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. Derek, this question is for you. Since we are on the east side, please share an example of or way you have been involved with or supported the east side community.
Thank you for the question. I think it's more what this east side community has done for me and my family, and we're very thankful. It has created a community where I have been able to raise my children and have a great family, and it's a great community. What have I done for the east side community? Well, the first thing we did when we got into the House of Representatives is, because my daughter goes to Kapaa Elementary, they have a situation where you have elementary school students sharing a library with high school students, and that's like mixing oil and water, folks. So we were able to secure $6 million to create a new library for Kapaa Elementary. And anybody that thinks a library is a thing of the past, I would like to disagree. I think it's going to be a wonderful learning incubator for our children for the next generation. When we worked, every year we go from school to school in this district to identify what the school's priorities are, because as a husband of a school teacher, as a son of a school teacher, as a son-in-law of a school teacher, I truly believe that our principals and our teachers and those with the boots on the ground have the best manual of what their school needs. And I can tell you the DOE priorities are not necessarily in line with our principals' priorities. So we went to Kapaa High School, and we looked at their career pathways program. And I got to give kudos to Principal Hamada for the work that he's doing, because he's getting these kids job ready. He's identifying these kids as soon as they put their foot into that high school, and he's identifying what their strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities are, and he's capitalizing on that. So he's created this vocational program that deals with auto mechanics, agriculture, creative arts and media, and we were able to allocate money specifically to the schools. I think one of the greatest things we have done for the East Side community is invest in our education, to invest in the next generation, and to invest in our keiki, because those are going to be the ones that are going to carry the torch when we're old and when we're kupuna. Thank you.
Thank you. This question is for you again. Do you support the State Health Department's bill to increase regulations on cesspool systems?
Absolutely. I think when you take a look at the old technology versus the new technology, I think it is profound that cesspools have an adverse impact on our environment. Now, the thing is, a lot of people are going to be financially burdened. So we have to be very creative in if we can find ways to incentivize people that need to get their systems upgraded, because it's not cheap. To go from cesspool to a septic or a new system under their rules proposal would have an economic impact on people that are barely making it by, that are working two or three jobs just to pay their mortgage, just to put food on the table. When you take a look at how many kids are on free and reduced lunch in our schools, it is apparent that people are living paycheck to paycheck. So while they're implementing these rules, I hope that these decision makers and these guys that are coming up with these ideas, very good ideas, are also thinking creatively on how we can reduce the risk of the financial burden to create incentives so that we can promote and encourage good behavior instead of punishment and fines. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan, for you, do you support the State Health Department's bill to increase regulations on cesspool systems?
Oh, we went to the education system from that question. Woo, I got plenty on that. But anyway, when it comes to cesspool, yes, I'm going to support that. Anything that is harmful to the environment, I'm going to stand behind that. Talking about education, since we led to education, I believe in that. I believe education is important at every level. I believe that if we don't encourage our students and empower them to believe, think they can do anything, become good citizens and be successful in our society, I mean, I'm all for it. I don't know how we got off the subject from one thing to leading into education, but I tell you what, I did build cesspools if you want to know about that. My uncle, my mom's brother, that's the only experience I have with cesspools. As far as when it comes to laws, I'd have to take a look at the laws. But thank you so much.
Jonathan, back to you. Do you support the military presence at PMRF, Barking Sands? If yes, what will you do to ensure that it is a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why.
You know, I served in the United States Army. and I fought for the Constitution. And I'm going to have to support the military. I don't know if they're sitting on the right land, but I know that some of that land belongs to the Hawaiian people for Hawaii. But I do support the military. They're going to have to be here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what's going to happen if another country conquers us? And you asked me the question, sir. The question was, what would I do to support it, or how will I support it? Was that the question?
Either or.
You know, I'd have to look into that one. All I know is that military is important, especially, ladies and gentlemen, today. The defense system is important for us. I know we stand divided on some of these things, but when it comes to military, I served in the military. I know how important it is. I mean, you know, I have to stand behind the military. I know that the land, you know, we have issues with our, we're dealing with two factions here. We're dealing with the Hawaiian people, and we're dealing with the state government. I'm in a difficult position here. I'm Hawaiian. So one of the Republicans asked me, hey, Jonathan, so how are you going to represent us? I told him, well, I got to do it two factions. What is it? The Hawaiian people and the state government. I support the United States Army. Mahalo.
Thank you. Derek, do you support the military presidents at PMRF Barking Sands? If yes, what will you do to ensure that it is a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why.
I do support PMR for a number of reasons. One, and first and foremost, it provides critical defense for our nation. We have one of the most technologically advanced missile defense systems to defend, not to attack, to protect, not to harm. It is a missile defense system, a shield of protection for our nation. Secondly, the amount of jobs it provides for our community is profound. Not only military jobs, but civilian jobs. And when we're looking at diversifying our economy, and we have to realize that tourism is the foundation of our economy, but we're also trying to diversify it in the forms of high technology and science, and the amount of high technology jobs, good paying jobs, that they're providing for our kids that are coming out of college, that are coming home from the universities, it is one of the few industries that can provide a living wage and that has evolved to provide opportunity for our kids. Now, it's a touchy subject when you ask me what would I do to support it and make it a priority. Because PMRF is federally funded, it's really out of our purview. But what we have done is we have ensured that PMRF has been a good neighbor for our community so that the people would support it. We've worked with different captains and commanders, from Captain Mongello, Captain Suds, and now Captain Hay, to make sure that they're a part of our community. So they've opened up the 4th of July celebration. They've opened up some of the access. And we continually work with them to remind them that they are a guest, a welcome guest from our island, but they have to be a part of our community. And the amount of community service that they have poured into Kauai is very, very encouraging. So one of the ways that we support them is to make sure they're good neighbors so that they don't get chased out of town. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Jonathan. That concludes the questions we have for the State House representatives, District 14 candidates. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for closing remarks. Since you went first, Derek, Jonathan is going to go first now. So, Jonathan, your closing remarks, we have 2 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is critical. The way the state is moving right now, in 2 years, our special funds and our general extras, general fund will be depleted. I don't know how serious you are about taxes, but I'm very serious about taxes besides education. I mean, we got to look at alternatives and options. Only the big guys going to get fat, the guys at the top. We, the middle class, I know you're middle class because you're not driving any Cadillacs out there. But anyway, ladies, we got to focus on that. The taxes is very important. I signed that thing. I ask that you use your heart when you do this voting in November 4th and not your mind. Use your heart. Let that spirit tell you, I believe in minimizing that tax, especially the TAT, the tourism, accommodations, the transit, accommodations taxes. I mean, they're at 9.25 right now. We're 75% short of the 10% mark. However, I did do research down in Hanalei. And it was a primary research. I talked to a lot of people, and they said, you know what, if more sky rises and all of this high rises will take place, then we got to find other places. We need to protect tourism. Tourism is very important to Hawaii. They bring a lot of money. They stimulate our economy. I just want you to think about this. Derek's a good candidate. He's actually the incumbent. And he's very smart and intelligent, and I supported him. I voted for Derek, and I voted for Obama, and I'm sitting here now, and I'm with Derek. So whoever goes forward, I just ask that you minimize the tax, Derek. Take that tax down so we can afford to live, our housing, our families. We talk about families and houses. Let's take it and we'll be minimizing the taxes. Aloha.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Derek, you have 2 minutes for your closing remarks.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank Jonathan for this opportunity. He's a great guy, and you know, at the end of the day, we're one big ohana. We have to lead by example. This is the island of Aloha, the state of Aloha, something that is unique. No other state, no other country has a word that describes that's so much more than a word. It's a way of life, how we treat each other. And we got to lead by example. It's been an absolute honor and privilege to have been able to serve this community since 2006. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very thankful that my wife and my two children are very supportive, because without them, I couldn't do it. I just want to say to the folks, you know, we have some challenges, like everywhere else, but I'm very optimistic. I'm very optimistic, and I still believe that this is the best place in the world to live in. The 14th district is the best district in the state of Hawaii. So for all of you Westsiders that are here, my dad over there that's from Waimea, my mom that grew up in Hulia Valley behind Puhi, I'm sorry. But I just want to say, I want to thank you guys for taking the time out of your busy day, a very busy day. The last time we had a forum, we had a storm that was headed our way. Once again, we have a storm. Please go home and get ready. But just the fact that you took a time out of your day, a sliver out of your day to hear us, it's an honor and a privilege for me, and I'm very thankful and grateful, and I'm looking forward to being reelected. I'm going to need your vote, and I'm going to need your support, so I humbly ask for your support. Thank you so much for all the sponsors for doing this. I truly, truly enjoyed it, and thank you so much for moderating this forum. Aloha.
Mahalo to both Derek Kawakami and Jonathan Ho'omana Manini. We'll be taking a short 5-minute break, and we will start the county council debates.
All right, broadcasting live there from the Kapa'a Neighborhood Center.